And when he was a teenager, he slipped with a chainsaw and cut his leg.
Oh, my God.
And
wow.
We were absolutely shocked to know that that showed in his handwriting.
Yeah.
Let go.
Isn't that
excellent.
Awesome?
Okay, guys, thank you for your patience. I did finally get the recording on and recording, so we can listen to it again. My name is Bart Baggett. If you do not know me or to know who we are, let me give you a brief background, and then I'll introduce our guest speaker. And we'll get to not only the handouts which you downloaded, the topic of health and handwriting, and we will get to one of the, or many of the 164 questions that you also submitted for today. First, let me tell you, if you've never used a conference call before, a conference line, I love to keep all the lines open so you can interact with me, you can talk to me. However, if you are talking to somebody else or you have a dog in the background or a baby crying, it will be distracting to the rest of us. If it is distracting, I'm going to hit star six on my phone and I will mute everybody out but Teresa and I. So it's no problem. So if you are talking on the other line or you do have a phone call or a blender, go ahead and hit star six now. That way your phone is quiet. And that way it doesn't interrupt everybody else's listening pleasure. And, again, I will open the lines as much as possible because I do want you to interact, ask questions. One of the great things about what we do with these teleconferences, you get to interact with us. There's no charge for these. And then we can ask your questions, talk to them. Sometimes you only get to talk to some of the best experts in the world at the conferences, and this gives you a chance to visit with them ahead of time. Also, if you're keeping track at the end of this call, I will give another magic word if you guys are keeping all the conferences. We still have three pretty in-depth home study courses worth between $700 and $1,000 each to give away. If you listen to all of them, we'll give that at the end of the thing. And there are some more specials for the conference if you have not enrolled yet. It's less than 2 weeks away. Teresa's one of nine other speakers going to be there, and we do want you to come there. I've just finished wrapping up my new advanced book, which will be part of the program. And I got to tell you, it's never been presented, so I'm particularly excited about it. My name is Bart Baggett. I'm president of handwritinguniversity.com. We now have campuses in India, China. We have certified students in almost all 52 states here in America, as well as, of course, we serve our people internationally through our home study course. It really has become the creme de la creme of home study courses and of handwriting analysis and graphology, even graphotherapy. We've got everything granted from human resources directors to doctors now being served through our program. One of the great things about what we're doing now is we're doing preview conferences for our upcoming conference, which is every year. If you can't come this year, get the DVDs and come next year. But this year has an advanced tone. So I've asked all the speakers to do something that's probably not in our books. Do something that's different. Do something that's new. Do something that those of you that have been to the other conferences will find completely, completely different. I think that's what we've got here tonight. One of the most popular topics we've ever had in surveys is people wanting to know about health in handwriting. I will tell you the story of how I first became a believer that there is some truth to health being revealed in handwriting. If you've ever talked to an 80-year-old person with some kind of degenerative disease, it's obvious there's something going on in the handwriting. If you've ever interviewed a drunk person writing, it's obvious that something is going on in the handwriting too. So one of the people that I asked to speak is named Teresa DeBerry. Teresa is one of our soon-to-be graduates in our document examining course, which means that she is an expert in forgery detection. She has a lab, she has a microscope, and she is doing active cases now. She is soon to be court qualified, and she is somebody that if you have a forgery case or check, you know, you could come with her and your lawyer and police and really get to the bottom of what's in the handwriting. She came into the program through our graphology division, which means she found it fascinating that you could tell personality, and I'll let her tell the rest of the story. But ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Teresa DeBerry. How are you, Teresa?
Hello, I'm great. How are you?
How was that for an introduction? How'd I do? All right?
That was awesome. It was perfect.
You will notice Teresa has an adorable Southern accent. And that is because you were from where?
When I recorded my little, you know, my little pre-recorded bit, I tried really hard to make it very professional and, you know, like sound like I wasn't from the South. And after about the third try, I just gave up and said, I'm from the South. It shows.
Well, we like it. I actually am from the South, too, and I intentionally got rid of my accent because I did so much radio and TV show, because those of you that are Yankees, and you know who you are a little prejudiced sometimes for us Southern folk. So I have no accent now, but Teresa, I don't think we mind having an accent. Do you guys mind? Is that all right?
That's okay.
We love it.
We love it, they say. Good. Good. And if you do want to ask a question, just, you know, hit star six and come back and interact. So a lot of them were very courteous and did hit mute, which doesn't mean they're not laughing at your jokes. I assure you, Teresa, because I'm one to not get laughed from any jokes. they will still laugh, even if there's four people, that means there's 1,400. And that's my belief, and I'm sticking to it. Teresa, tell me first about how you got into handwriting analysis, and specifically what drove your interest into docu-examining and about health.
It started with the book I had picked up at the bookstore by Andrea McNichol, and it's called Handwriting Analysis, Putting It to Work for You. And she just made it very easy to understand. And after that, I was very intrigued and started searching the website and came across your site. So, of course, from there, I started ordering the courses and I was hooked. The way I got into so intrigued by the health and handwriting was at a conference in Washington. I was having dinner with a friend of mine, and Don Lehu happened to come in the restaurant, and it was late, and they were about to close, and so we asked him to join us because there was, you know, we were the only people there. And the very first thing he does is pick up my handwriting, and he says, at that time I had a lot of back pain, and he said, oh, you've got one leg longer than the other, and you're having some back pain right now, and you also walk on the outside of your feet.
No kidding.
So from there I was like, oh my God, and so I've just really been intrigued ever since.
And that was the health thing. Now, you know, I don't know if you know this, Teresa, but actually Andrea McNichol is on our invite list for our doc-exam conference in October.
Oh, yeah.
She's mostly doing doc-exam stuff, but there are some really talented experts in the world, and we seem to be working with a lot of them now that we have the doc-exam school. You have a couple of kids, don't you, Teresa?
I have four, actually.
Four kids. Was there one more born? I thought you had two. I guess I can't keep track of, you know.
I have three of my own and a stepson.
Got it. Now, have you noticed in your own handwriting and those of your kids, have you been using this to diagnose their personality or even their health issues?
Both, actually. More so their personality because, you know, as a mom, I pretty much know their health problems before I see their writing. But once I do know it, I'm really likely to go back and make them write something just so I can see it and add it to my, you know, research. But it's very handy with the handwriting of their friends, of their teachers, you know, it's really awesome. It helps me to be able to deal with their teachers and kind of get an idea of their personality and know how they like to be, you know, talked to or dealt with, whatever. So it's really been handy.
Excellent.
You know, when they get to be teenagers, it's going to be awesome.
She's working full time doing doc examining and, of course, also teaching for us. Very good. Now, what is the first thing you want to cover? I think people's biggest question is, you know, why do you think health shows up in writing? I mean, if you've been studying our handwriting stuff, the graphology, of course, that's a big leap of at least the firsthand knowledge. Teresa, why do you think, you know, health shows up in the movement of your pen or your hand? Let's go start with the big question.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, it's brain writing. I mean, we say that 1,000 times, but it's really true. Things are going on inside your brain that are subconscious that you may not be aware of, but they do come out. And if you've got problems going on inside your body and you've got neurological tremors or you've got muscular tremors or you've got psychological problems, it actually will show up in your writing. And pain dots are a really great example because I've really never gone wrong with a pain dot. And if you want to reel somebody in and convince them that this is true, you can point out pain in them, and they will believe you over anything else you've said. It's just really incredible, and I've found it to be true every time I've brought it up. I've found it to be true. So, now, I will say that I think it's better if you watch them write something because you know that they've written on a clean surface, because obviously if you write across a piece of paper that has a crumb underneath it, it's going to have a tendency to make a dot, and so you need to, you know, it's better if you look at what they've written on so you know that it's clean. But let's just start with example number one. In the upper left section of the middle letters, that's called the middle zone, in the top part of the E on the left side, those are pain dots. And so that would be in the upper middle section of their body.
Well, let me stop you for a second. Does everybody have the PDF or the downloadable diagram that they're looking at?
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me show you where to get that. First of all, those of you that are live on the call, it is at the preview thanks page. So wherever you got this phone number, there was a kind of a PDF with Teresa's picture on it. A couple of days later, we uploaded the graphics to the back side of that. And so I like to read the HTML. Now, if you're listening to this via tape or via recording on the Internet, it will probably be moved and it will be at the same page that you downloaded this on. Okay? So here's where it is if you need to download it right now. It's at handwritinguniversity.com/register_thanks.html. Let me say that again. I think I've hit a slash. It's handwritinguniversity.com/preview/register_thanks.html. Sorry to interrupt there, Teresa. That has got five pages, all handwriting samples that Teresa will be reviewing with some really great graphics. You did a nice job scanning these, Teresa. These are really high resolution. And we can do that. Yes, because we only have professional graphics here at Hamlin University. Okay, great. If you looking for it, go ahead and look at that because it will help follow along with this call. Okay, go ahead, Teresa. Now, I want to ask you one thing. You mentioned zones. For those people that have not studied the basic course, understanding the upper, middle, and lower zone, can you tell us generally what letter would have all three zones, what letter would be in the middle, what letter would be in the lower, so that they understand what zones are? Because that's a word that people might not be familiar with.
Okay. Say, for instance, an L, an H, a D, anything that's got a stem that goes upward, that's going to be go into the upper zone. The middle section is going to be like your O's and your A's and your E's and your vowels and things like that. N's also, M's. And then the lower zone would be Y's, G's, T's, things like that. F actually has both zones. So an F is a really good letter to be able to kind of see the entire body.
Good. You can hear me, right? Okay. When Dr. Joe did his lecture, and we didn't actually get it on recording, he gave a little picture. I know you've got this picture of the F in your diagrams you'll hand out at the seminar. But there was something like with the upper part being the head, the middle part being the belly. Is that diagram sort of a general model that you could use for health, or is that something that only Dr. Joe used?
No, I think it's a really good general model. I have found that, you know, in different people it varies to a small degree. But generally, the middle part of the H where it connects will be sitting on the line that you write on, which is called the baseline. So the stomach mid-body section is going to be somewhere around where it sits on the baseline to about a third of the way up on an F, and it's kind of debatable with some people. I find that it's easier to use a middle section letter like an E, something like that with a loop. Like an L is like the first letter I'll look at first for the upper zone, and then an E for the middle zone, and then a Y for the lower zone. But that pretty much explains your zone area and in which letters you can look at in the zone.
Yeah, and the reason it's important, if you've studied the graphology or the psychological profiling, what we find is a majority of the traits that with upper zone strokes, the meaning of that trait is generally upper zone philosophical, is in the upper zone religion, beliefs, resentment, things that have to do with philosophy, whereas things like sex drive and exercise and physical drives are in the lower zone. And so there is a very common thread of knowledge based on the zone. And so I think that this same map, so to speak, with some exceptions, does apply with when you're looking for health injuries. And so what you're saying is, as we find different variations, squibbles, ink splots, any kind of things that we might consider health, the reason, whatever zone it's in, might give us a clue to either what part of the body it's in or what it means. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
Very good. And so you were saying that diagram one, we are looking, looks like a bunch of E's. Is that what you're seeing?
Right.
Do you have any idea what word that is, or we're just seeing a couple of E's, or?
I think that was supposed to have been queen.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It seems to have an extra E.
Well, bad spellers. I mean, heck, they're sick. Look at their E's. Obviously, they have some injuries. Can't possibly expect them to spell queen. Okay, so those are E's we're looking at. And you mentioned that's a pain dot.
That's a pain dot.
Now, how do you know it's a pain dot versus just a problem with your pen?
Because it's consistent in the same place throughout the writing. Now, if you are looking at a sample of writing and you've got two paragraphs and you find one little spot in the middle of the writing you know, that's not generally indicative of a pain dot if you only find it once. What you're looking for is a pattern out the writing in the same area. And it can be in different letters, but still in that same vicinity, you know, in the middle zone to the upper left, that kind of thing. If you have a headache, for example, at the top portion of an L or a D, there would be a small dot, and it would be consistent throughout the writing. I have run across, like, ankle injuries. You know, they're generally in the bottom, left or right portion. And one thing that I have found to be a little debatable is that they, you know, you say the left side of your brain controls the right side of your body. So it can be of a flip side image. So, like, this particular number one could be the left side, actually, of the body. It could be, like, left breast or something like that. My experience has been more that it's on the side that I'm looking at.
So let's make it easy. I'm looking at the E. Is the person facing the paper, or is the person facing up as if he's laying on the paper looking at you?
I generally look at it like they're laying on the paper looking up at me.
Yeah, so it would be, if I'm looking at the left side of the E and that person's looking up at you, it would be on the right shoulder or
right,
like it's the
right
breast.
Right, that would be right shoulder, exactly.
Yeah, and that, I think, has been my experience of choosing which left or right. But honestly, I have just been wrong about which side it's on. I have not found 100% certainty on the sides, and maybe that's something that's left-handed or right-handed. I don't know, but I think I agree with you. I think it tends to be the person laying on their back, looking out at you, and so it's almost reverse from what you're saying. Has that been your experience?
Yes. And two, I have found that it's easier to just ask them a question. You know, do you have pain in the upper middle section of your body? And that pretty much covers it, because they'll go, oh, yeah, my right breast, you know. And yeah. They'll fill in all the blanks, usually, once you hit on it.
Well, what have you ever had something that you see a little dot, and you're like, you know what, this is so consistent, I have to bring it up, but this is a pain dot in this area, and somebody says, I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, has that happened to you? Because it happened to me a few times, and I scratch my head and go, gosh, you know, this seems to be so certain, and when it hits, they just think you're a magician. But sometimes they have no recollection of hurting their ankle, because it could have been 5 years ago.
That to be true, but people have different levels of tolerance also, and some people tolerate pain very well, and they may not recognize it, though they do psychologically, that's the word I'm looking for?
You mean they may have it, they just may not recognize it as a pain or injury.
Or it could just be something that they've forgotten. I mean, I've had people who said no, and he turned around and came back to me and said, oh, I forgot, you know, 5 years ago I did this or whatever. But I've not ever had a case where they did not have anything. You know, I've had people who couldn't remember at first, or they had to think about it a minute. You know, I had one who had pain in the upper section, and I just said, are you having any pain in the head area? And, oh, no, I don't have any headaches. And I said, well, you know, it can be more than just a headache. And it turned out, after she thought about it a second, her friend hit her, and she went, oh, well, you've got that TMJ thing. And
TMJ,
she was having severe
right.
problems with TMJ.
Right. Okay, cool. So in general, number one, we've got an obvious ink spot on the left side. Now, you say that's pain. Could that also be a scar? Could it be an injury? How do you know you've seen pain and injuries, or do the books specify that?
I've not seen much specification on it. I have found that there could be a small skip also. More so I see dots, but it could be a pain memory. It could be an old surgery scar. It could be, you know, an old broken bone. It could be current pain that they're feeling now. It is basically an injury memory or a pain
Got
memory.
It. That diagram that you're looking at there, number one, if that was two L's together, that would almost be identical to the way I write my L's, especially under a microscope. You may not notice it with every pen, but under a microscope, I don't know if you saw this, Teresa, at the conference we got on our microscopes for our doc exam conference, and every L that I did, you could see a dot like that in the I believe it was the left side.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't see it with every pen. And that first was brought to my attention when I was 19 years old. I was at this graphology conference. This guy said, well, you seem to have a pretty severe scar on the left side of your skull. In this case, it is the left side of the L, and it is the left side of the thing. So, in essence, it's not flipped as far as the example for me. And I still have about a 4-inch scar. It used to be way back in my hairline, but apparently my forehead's been growing for some reason. And the scar is closer to the hairline. I can't really know why my forehead's growing, but no here, no there. I'm sure we can figure that out eventually. And it's always been there. And that injury occurred when I was 5.5 years old. If there was no scar, I probably wouldn't even know it's there, but obviously it's a pretty severe scar. But it's so consistent, it's just undeniable that that is the cause. That is definitely the break in the neurons in that area, and obviously caused some scarring, which comes out of my handwriting. So, I mean, I've been a believer that there's got to be some evidence that this is true. The reason we haven't taught it until this conference is, quite frankly, I really wanted to teach all the things that we knew was 100% certain. And in this conference, we're getting the stuff that's, you know, kind of on the cutting edge. It, you know, we think it's true, but there's always exceptions. And when you get into exceptions, you get into things that aren't true all the time, or at least, you know, there's exceptions we can't identify.
Oh, there always seems to be exceptions.
Well, it's so you get the higher levels. I mean, the basic levels, yeah, T means this, but it just seems that people are so complex as well as their health issues. Let me unmute this because I can see if anybody has any questions on that before we move to the next one here. Good.
All right, I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Would it be possible to see a pain that is not present? Like, say somebody suffers from migraine, but during the writing they do not have a migraine at the exact time. Will that show up in the writing?
It can, but it's been my experience that the writing that you take reflects what they're feeling at that particular time.
So there's a current pain.
Right. That's been my experience.
Okay.
And my experience has been more with scars and long-term injuries, which, of course, would be sustainable, and they may not have current pain at the moment.
Right.
I guess the answer is we're not sure, but That's been our two experiences.
Okay, thank you.
And the conference, Dr. Joe, who's been researching ADHD and probably has about 100 samples of these, he might be able to give you more feedback because he's actually every day dealing with patients. And that'll give us some firsthand knowledge versus what Teresa and I are giving you is a little firsthand knowledge with a lot of textbook research.
Right.
I heard a male's voice. Go ahead.
Yes, Bart. I'm scheduled for knee surgery next couple of weeks, and I've been doodling on the on a piece of paper in front of me, Y's, G's, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess about where the knee would be, there are a bunch of dots, and I can't. I wasn't even aware that I was doing it. As a matter of fact, I was trying not to do anything, and it's there.
Well, the thing is, you have an injury, you wouldn't be needing surgery, obviously.
Yeah, right.
The question is, if the surgery is 100% successful and there's very little scarring, will those dots go away?
I don't know.
So can you save your handwriting sample and bring it with you to conference or mail it in if you miss it? Because we'd love to do a little
sure.
before and after on that.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that.
Good. What's your name? Where are you from so I can look for it?
Ira from Oregon.
Ira in Oregon. Okay, great, Ira. Thank you.
I'm taking the handwriting and now I'm just about ready to send in my exam.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I wish you were in Texas so we could hand you certificates in front of all those people. But if you can't make it, then we'll definitely work with you one-on-one.
Great, thanks.
All right, great. Teresa, you have a number two. You have a diagram. Why don't you jump on that and explain what that is?
Okay, and this one I don't want to spend quite as much time on because it's fairly simple, I think. You guys are learning, I'm assuming, about plants and everything and handwriting, and if you've learned that already, you know that left word is repressed and right word is expressed, and varying degrees in between. So this is emotional pain, which basically shows up as repressed I, in rightward slanted writing. So if you have a writing sample in front of you and the slant is to the right, or even up and down, and suddenly your capital I lurches leftward. This person is holding back, and they're emotionally repressed about themselves, about their feelings, and they're hanging on to the past and past hurts and resentments and things like that. So they have basically been hurt, and they've not been able to let it go, and they're not going to open up to you about themselves very quickly.
So what you're saying is that's a reductive trait, despite an extroverted hearing, despite DE, maybe big hearing, that would reduce the ability or the tendency to be expressive because they got some emotional trauma or emotional issues.
I have found that, you know, if I have a really right orange plant and the person is just, you know, they're a people person and they're outgoing and they just, they'll talk about anything under the sun, but you ask them a question about their self and they're going to close off. They just don't want to talk about it. They don't want you to get that personal.
Great. Now, this next one looks like a resentment stroke, if you studied the course. Is it resentment or are you looking at something different?
That is resentment.
I was standing in line, I think, I don't know where I was, but there's two girls talking about one of their clients in the insurance. She said, well, she had emotional injuries and she wanted to be compensated for it. She said, ma'am, we don't compensate for emotional injuries. Only physical injuries is an insurance company. You know, this is obviously psychology, resentment. Now, obviously, that's very common among serial killers is resentment, very common among angry, you know, people with violent tendencies. I guess, is there a correlation between diseases such as cancer and the emotion is resentment? Do you have any, have you seen the research on that, Teresa?
I have not, but my thoughts are people who are prone to cancer, the studies that I have read about, people who are prone to cancer had some traumatic things or some events which they were unable to let go of or get past 3 years prior, approximately. And I'm sure this is debatable, but still, you know, it was intriguing to me because a person who cannot let go of the past, who cannot let go of hurt, you know, you keep it inside, and it really kind of eats you up, and it causes you to focus on that stress, and it inhibits your body's ability to heal itself. So I would think that would make you more prone to diseases like that, you know, blood pressure and heart diseases and things like that, where you have to just don't let things go.
Sure. Now, in our books, these are obviously psychological conditions, but I think if you're a medical practitioner, it would be useful to know which psychological conditions would affect a medical condition. In my research with timeline therapy and hypnosis, although I've not read the research, I heard it verbally through Tad James. What Tad said was that all his patients with cancer over the last 20 years had a precipitating incident between, you know, one day and 3 months before the onset of the cancer that was, in his terms, totally the root cause. And they all had resentment, a sense of unfairness. And the ones that spontaneously cured themselves of cancer did so with things like laughter and attitude and timeline and forgiveness, things that would make somebody not resentful. So there was a strong correlation between anger and negative emotions with specifically a disease called cancer. I don't know if we have any pictures in these slides, Teresa. Perhaps we'll have some at the seminar of cancer in writing versus, let's say, Alzheimer's or some other disease. What do you have here with specific diseases? Number three is the next one.
I don't have any slides here specifically, but I will be covering cancer at the seminar, which I find extremely interesting. Number three is the exhaustion slide. And those dots that you see, those are resting dots. And literally, when a body is just so exhausted, it's as if they have to put the pen down and rest for just a minute as they're writing. And you will see that a lot.
Man, I hate to see this person walk up a flight of stairs that they can't even finish a sentence.
I mean, the period at the end of, I think that word was unity or something like that, but even the period has a resting dot at the end of it.
Nice.
Also, you can see at the N and the I, the bottom, how they kind of stick upward, that also you will find that people who are extremely exhausted or have chronic fatigue, that kind of thing.
Now that's also termed as a tick in the other books, and we'll be talking about ticks. The tick is also, in psychological terms, also sort of a sign of hostility and or frustration and aggression. Is exhaustion, you think, a cause or sort of a symptom of this sort of irritation? Because usually when I'm exhausted, I'm more easily annoyed. You think there's a connection between those two?
Certainly, yeah. I mean, if you know, when you're tired and, well, you certainly don't want to be writing anything. You just want to go lay down and get some rest, but you have to push yourself onward. So, yeah, it comes out in those little aggressive-looking ticks where they've, you know, hit the paper and suddenly lurched upward just a little bit.
Let's lay the record. Technically, since I'm a perfect human being, this would never occur to me. And because I'm the teacher, I just want to make that sure to know that, you know, I have no problems and I've changed my handwriting years ago and I'm totally perfect. So just for the record, let's people know that. And if you don't know what sarcasm is, that was a great example of it if you haven't been listening to my tapes for the last couple of years. So there's interesting questions. Before we go to number four, Teresa, I'm going to ask a couple of questions. They had emailed like 185 questions on their enrollments. And there's some just very general questions. And here's one question from Dina. She said, is it possible to change your health by changing your writing, or is it purely a diagnosis tool?
I believe it's possible. I really do. I mean, theoretically, if you can change your personality through your handwriting, why couldn't you change your health? Because, you know, your mind is a powerful thing, and if you recognize something in your handwriting, that is a warning sign to you. It's not a definitive, hey, this is forever. It's a warning sign. And I believe if you start seeing things like that in your writing, that you can certainly pay more attention to it and start working on that, and it would reflect in your health. You know what reason why that wouldn't be the case. You know, and also, Bart, you had a quote also about how pain is a red light.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, to go, it's also a sign, hey, there's something going on here. Maybe I need to go get this checked out. And it could be a very good preventative, you know, to help to find what the problem is and help you fix it.
Well, one of the things Dr. Joe's been doing is he's actually been seeing patients and looking at this, and he says, you know, your handwriting says you might have some issues with your lungs. Do you mind if I give you a little exam on that? And he has found certain diseases months before there was any symptoms, and sometimes months before the test even showed up. So I do think it's a heck of preventative. You know, I guess it's kind of like graphotherapy. If you can change your writing, you may affect your thought processes and belief systems, which then in turn could change it. You know, it sure sounds like a leap, but you know what? There is so much in this world that I don't understand. I have to concur with you. I think it's possible. Here's another question. This is from Patsy. What does a break in the top of a loop mean as far as health is concerned? She understands that the blob of ink is health signal 2. But what's a break versus a blob? Do you have any distinction of what that might mean as far as a different kind of health issue, Teresa?
Well, it depends on what the break looks like.
Okay.
We will be covering blood pressure in just a second, and that will show up as a skip.
Okay.
A break can actually be a heart thing. I've also found some pain that was a skip.
What's a broken heart look like? Because I think I had one recently.
I've also found, notice how I carry right on and just ignore him.
Probably best.
I've also You're found that it could be a surgery, you know, like something removed. I've actually found small just missing sections from that also. So I can't give you a 100% definitive, but I can give you several ideas.
Okay. Okay, let's move. Okay, any questions? We have the phones open now before we move to question number 5 and 6. Good. Here's one from Rianne. Now, these are real specific, Teresa, and if you don't want to answer them or you don't have diagrams for them, say, hey, I'm going to save it for the conference, because we've got everything from, hey, what's the indicator for multiple sclerosis, what's the indicator for cancer, what's the indicator for particular, like, weight issues. I mean, do you have a specific thing for everything, or do you not, or the books aren't clear? What is your... How do you answer all these questions?
The secret to finding health in handwriting is trait stacking. It's not about one signal. It's about meaning signals. It's about tendencies, personality profiles. You know, like, for instance, you might find pain in the lower middle section of the body. This person might have resentment strokes. They might have anger. They might have very angular writing and just have a tendency to stay frustrated. Well, that could be an ulcer, because all of those things combined give you the tendency to have that particular affliction or whatever it may be. So it's not about just one thing, and you will find that once you delve into this a little further, it gets a little complicated because there are so many variations of what it means. Just like as in your T-bar, you know, you can cross it leftward in procrastination and rightward in its anger, and it can mean two completely different things. So you have to take that into consideration. But the secret is to stack all of the things that you find and make a, to put all the pieces together to make the puzzle. So, you know, I won't be able to tell you here's one thing that you need to look for, because generally it's much more than just one thing.
Great question. Okay. Here's one from Martha, and I think this is more, this is both psychology and, you know, pharmacology or graphotherapy. She says, how do you know a depressed person from their writing?
All right, think about it like this. When you're depressed, what are you? You're down. When you're happy and you're optimistic, what are you? You're up. So look for that in your writing. Your baseline when you're depressed will have a tendency to just go downward. It just slants downward. You can give someone a blank piece of paper and have them write something, and their sentences will start all falling downward. A lot of the suicide letters that you find, they've got depressed writing, and it goes downward. And a lot of sickly people, bad health, you know, they're depressed about that. So, and it goes downward because they feel like it's out of their hands, and it depresses them. So the way I look at it is, hey, things are looking up. In your handwriting, that will, it will reflect that. You know, she's feeling really down. Look, you know, the handwriting is gonna, it's gonna meander downward, and that can go for words specifically that you can look for, or sentences altogether. I mean, to give you just a little further tidbit of handwriting analysis, you can have a whole sentence, and they may be talking about John, and suddenly when they get to John, it goes downward. Well, they may have a something that they're upset or depressed about with John. So you can look at it the big picture or in smaller pieces, actually.
Good question. Any questions? I'm going to read some more if you guys don't jump in here.
Can you hear me?
There you go. Yeah, go ahead.
I have a question. I came in a little bit late. So what does the... the number one that has a little dark spot, what does that mean? Is that the injury?
That is pain.
That's pain? Okay.
That's when the one hurts.
And what you look for with a pain dot is you're looking for a consistent dot in the same area throughout the writing.
Okay. So what does a little, like, white spot before or after that mean? Because I practice some F's and L's, and I notice there's a little, like, a light spot on my F at the top, and then on the bottom there's a little dark spot, and then sometimes there's a light spot before the dark.
Like there's, like, skipping?
Yeah, but it doesn't really skip, but it's like a semi-skip. But it's consistent.
It's, when you make, what letter is it on specifically?
F.
F, and it's when you're going up in the writing or when you're coming down?
Up. Going up.
Okay.
So there's a dot, and then there's, like, a skip.
And is your writing generally light? Or medium? Would you say
medium?
Medium?
So, and sometimes it's heavy, but mostly medium.
Okay. I have found in my experience that that can be a little bit of stress. It can be a person who is a little bit of afraid of the future.
Okay.
And I can, and there are also some, well, the blood pressure is skipping also, but it's not just a lightening, it's an actual skip.
Mm-hmm.
So just the lightning, I really wouldn't be that concerned about. It can be a variation of things, but two of which I just said.
Okay, and then I noticed when I was doing the G's and the Y's going with the stroke going back up, there's like two dots.
On the left side going up?
Yeah, on the left side going up, there's two dots.
How far up?
It's basically on the bottom where it turns, right where it turns.
So that would be ankle? So have you ever had a foot or an ankle or lower leg injury?
Oh, twisted ankle several times.
Okay, well, that would be what I would think that would be. It is pain memory. It can be something that happened in the past. It can be something you're feeling right now. Or it could be a surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen scars show up that way, too.
Okay. And then I noticed on the G and the Y... The Y part, or the round part of the G, it's on the upward stroke, but right when it turns, there's a skip. there also.
Have blood pressure problems?
Huh. I tend to have a low blood pressure.
Do you? Now, I have found that low blood pressure writers usually have lighter pressure writing.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't think that it would be that. Is it the middle area of the G?
No, it's right when it turns. You know, like when you're doing the Y or the G, you're coming down and you hit the line, and then you go up. It's in the beginning of the upstroke.
Beginning of the very bottom.
Yeah, it's the upstroke of the round part. Like if you're writing an A, that part. You know, like A, but it's actually the G.
Oh,
but the top part of the Y and the top part of the, not the bottom.
I'm not really sure I'm following you. Sorry.
Yeah, that's kind of specific here.
Okay, never mind.
I have a question.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you can.
For those people who print all the time, are you finding it difficult to see problems, health problems in the printing?
It is a little harder, I think. You still see tendencies. A lot of, I don't want to give too much away because I want you guys to come see me in Dallas.
But a lot
of the time what you're looking for are, you know, variations of pressure and variations of consistency and things like that. So it's not just in, you know, the upper or the lower. There are several things that you can look for. And I'm not going to give you any more than that.
Yeah, I think the really, you know, there's definitely things that are patterns. And when you look at five samples of handwriting and they all have Parkinson's disease, there tends to be a pattern that shows up. Now, remember, the handwriting samples are going to be different based on their personalities. So there's some other pattern that overlays that. And I think number five is a great example of a sort of a pattern where you've got consistent pen lifts at various places, Teresa.
Right.
And that is symbolic of a certain type of disorder. Obviously, there's something really weird going on here. And it's not, per se, personality related. Okay, so maybe they have a terrible pen. But if it's not the pen, why is this doing that? And maybe you can shed some light on number five there.
Well, generally speaking, if you have consistent pressure all the way through your writing and then suddenly there's a skip there, something in that area of your body is not connecting, whether it be neurological, your blood, your veins and your arteries, that kind of thing. Something in that area is just not consistently. There's something consistently skipping through there. For instance,
like a chiropractor when they adjust your back, if it's not properly aligned, the energy is not flowing to the different organs, and so you end up just basically missing an entire part of functionality because your back's not aligned. So it's sort of, you're saying there's just something, the energy's not getting there, it's actually mirroring what's happening in your body from the hand.
Right. And I have found, for example, just last week I saw there was someone who had seizures, and they had a small skip in the upper left section of their writing, like the upper left part of an L. And I just asked them, you know, I didn't be very specific. I left it very vague just so they could answer the question. And I just said, well, so what, you know, what's going on up here? And basically they said, well, I have seizures. And that made perfect sense because there is something up there that is not connecting consistently. So it's just something to be aware of and look for. Now, I generally have a little bit of skipping in the upper right section of my writing, but my experience has been that the more it skips, the more stressed I've been, really, or the more apprehensive I am of something that's coming up that I have a little bit of fear of failure, you know, that it's connected with, that kind of thing. But also, I do have a little bit of blood pressure issue also. But
And what you said of stress, I think also people call it anxiety.
Exactly.
Exactly. And if I had four kids, I would have some anxiety.
Yes, you would. Notice it's quiet. See, the door is locked now.
Is that mostly in the L letters that you're talking about?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. For instance, the number five, but we'll just go to that one. That is blood pressure. And you can see that is in different areas of the body, and it can also be in the lower section.
Repeat that, Teresa. We missed that when we had some noise. It's what disease?
That is high blood pressure.
High blood pressure. Okay, high blood pressure. I didn't hear that. And that's the skipping.
Right, and I have found that to be the experience that I've had in where their pressure is consistent throughout their writing, and it doesn't look as though they've lifted their pen. It just looks like maybe there was, you know, like when you write across a hair on the page, how it just makes a skip. It looks that way. It's just like the roller ball did not meet the paper for some strange reason. And like, for instance, I have high blood pressure, and so does my mother, and we both have those same consistencies throughout our writing. It's in different areas, but we both have it. And I just thought number five was a really great example because, I didn't want you to look at it and say, oh, okay, if you have a skip in the letter D, you have high blood pressure. No, it can be anywhere that you have those consistent skips throughout the writing like that. So this is a great example of several letters of places it can be.
And blood pressure, although it's focused in the heart at one level, your blood is throughout your whole body, so it wouldn't be surprising if it was in all different letters. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Yeah, because I know that certain kind of cancers of the blood or cancers that are systemic are all over the writing, where other cancers that are isolated to a particular part of the body are only in one part of the body. Mm-hmm. Another little tip there for you. Okay. Teresa, let me put you on hold just a second. There, we're going to go for number four. There, you got two diagrams that I think we sort of we went out of order. I want to get that. I will take you all off on mute in a second. I want to give you one piece of business here. If you want to write this URL down, this is something that was taken off the website because the prices of the seminar have now gone up to $547, I think. But there are two tickets left on the teleconference special. So write this down, handwritinguniversity.com/preview/super, and that's SUPER as in super offer. Real bluntly, this is the one that was left from last week. We still have a couple of these deals left. If you want to come to the seminar, you can get last year's conference, which is a $597 CD. Plus, you can bring a friend for free. This is no longer on the main website. This is only for teleconference. If you're listening to this via tape, obviously it may not be up and it may not be active, but if you guys come tonight, you take advantage of that. If you want to come, bring your friend, bring your neighbor, and it's only at this page. Also down in the middle of that page, handwritinguniversity.com/preview/super, there is a special for $297. You can get the DVDs, which, of course, are not recorded yet, because Teresa and I will be doing the seminar on June 23rd, 24th, 25th, and we'll ship those to you. That's a pre-publication price. By buying those, we pay for all our people who are filming and taping and the hotel, and we get it out roughly a little bit over our cost. So that was a special I wanted to tell you. I will tell the magic word in a second. I will take you off mute. And, Teresa, if you want to go over number four, I'll come back and talk about that one more piece of business toward the top of the hour there. Go ahead.
Your chest one more.
Yeah, number four, Teresa.
Okay. Number four is actually hearing impairment. And I just thought this was really, really interesting. I had seen the uppercase I before. And that is spinning and slight skipping. Basically, when your body has something that it interprets as a deformity, for example, you can have some dinning or some skipping like that also. I've found it to be more dinning, though, and this was kind of a bad example, but it was the one that I had, so that was what I used.
What's the word you're using, skinning?
Denting.
Denting, D-E-N-T, denting.
Denting. In Alabama, that's dinning. At any rate, I had seen the denting in things like blindness and hearing impairment. And then I found in my research this backward safe C. Now, what that actually is their capital I.
Oh, wow, that's a capital I.
That is a capital I. And that is, it just resembles an ear. And I found that to be extremely fascinating. And I went through and found many, many examples of the hearing impairment in the capital I like that. Now, I won't say it's 100% of the time. And I found that it did not apply to degenerative or age-related deafness because that came on gradually, and so it wasn't kind of perceived, you know, that way by the body, I guess. But a lot of the time, you would find deafness and hearing impairment to be in this backward shape C, which is a capital I. It can also, both of these things can also indicate vertigo, tinnitus, and other kind of ear problems like that, inner ear. So, like right now, for instance, my son has swimmer's ear, and I'm really eager to go get his handwriting. But I'm trying to give him a break until he feels a little better. But I just found that to be fascinating. And I found another one that was very similar, and I'll throw that in for you, too. But I was researching cholesterol because I was working next to a friend of mine who had high cholesterol, and she was extremely concerned. And I ran across this research, and the person had said that they had found that the O's would tend to be heart shaped in people who had high cholesterol. So immediately I was going, oh, give me some handwriting. And sure enough, she did have a heart shaped O.
Wow.
So I've also found that your body will actually kind of draw it out for you on occasion, and you'll have a reflection of, you know, like, for instance, I've seen people with a capital I who are extremely focused on money, and their capital I would actually almost look like a dollar sign, or it would have it would look like a number 7, and it was, you would find that person to be extremely focused on money. So your body has a way of actually drawing the picture for you. I just found that to be fascinating, so I wanted to hear that.
Okay, good job. We have 5 minutes left. Let me give the magic word if you guys are keeping track of this. Those of you that have listened to all the conferences, you'll be into a drawing for the people that list all these words. The word is psychotic. I just thought that'd be a fun word. You have to spell it right, too. You have to spell the word psychotic, and I'm sure it's in my first book. Psychotic.
Psychotic.
And the other words, if you didn't hear them, you can listen to the tape. The only ones that's not on tape is Joe's. So you'll probably be submitting 8 words since one of them wasn't available. Okay, open up. We have 5 more minutes for questions for Teresa. The line is open, and it's all yours. So ask away, or I will start reading
Donna
questions.
Donna from Oregon.
Donna, you are up to bat.
Yes. I wanted to know what writing instrument reveals the most in the skips and, you know, like in this number 5. It shows...
The best scenario is to have lineless paper in a stack, say, 3 or more sheets.
You're enrolled in Teresa Berry's teleconference about health and
money. Somebody
get a teleconference. Okay, stop the noise. Thank you very much. I like hearing myself talk. Don't get me wrong.
Anyway, the best case scenario is to have lineless paper that is in a stack, not just the one sheet by itself. If you have it stacked on each other, 3 to 5 pages or so, that lets you be able to actually write into the paper. And I found that the best example will come from a ballpoint pen. Don't use a pencil and don't use a felt tip pen because those are extremely hard to get readings from. But a good ballpoint pen that you've used and you know writes well is the very best thing that you can give them.
So if you're going to ask someone to write for you, you present them with the pen that's going to reveal the most?
You know, I really do carry a couple of pens that I know how they write, so I already have that much of it down, you know, because mm-hmm. you can get a ballpoint that's just terrible, mm-hmm. and it's going to skip all over the place, and, you know, if you haven't really learned how to put it all together or use tact, you could mm-hmm. go, oh, my God, you've got blood pressure problems. Right. And then you're going to freak them out. So I have found that it's better if you actually have something to hand to them that you know how it writes.
Mm-hmm. How about pencil?
Pencil is bad.
Pencil is not going to show up.
No.
5 more minutes.
I've never seen pain in a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
I've had pain from a pencil.
Yes.
Testing day for sure.
Okay, what else?
This is Raven in Ohio.
Four.
Okay, let's start with the one in Ohio and then come back to the one from the other girl.
How subtle are the pain dots? Can I see them, you know, with a, you know, if I just, how close do I have to get to see them? How subtle are they? Are they very subtle in some cases?
They can be very subtle in some cases, but I think you will not have a problem seeing them.
Okay.
I think they're very easy to see.
Like a, you know, an average magnifying glass and I should be okay.
Yes.
Okay.
You can get those little 5X reading things,
mm-hmm.
Reading lights. And say, I have a small magnifying reading light that's like 5X. I got it Books a Million. It's awesome. It's like 4 inches wide, and you can just put it right in your purse. I found it to be great.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Good. 3 more minutes. Anyone?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
My son has Hodgkin's disease. Where would I look in his handwriting to see when it started?
Oh, goodness. When it started? I can't answer that. I have no idea.
Okay. how about, can you let me know what kind of letters or something to zoom in on, focus, and then I can just hunt back through his samples?
Are you going to be at the conference?
No, I couldn't get off work.
Oh, well, I really haven't studied Hodgkin's, to be perfectly honest.
Okay.
Dr. Joe is actually studying things of that nature, and he will be going more in depth. And I hate that you missed his call, because you could have asked him that. But I'll be happy to take your email address and ask him and find out for you.
Okay,
that'd
be fine.
Also, another suggestion, if you have samples of your son's handwriting over the last 10 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, photocopy them in high resolution and send them to Teresa.
I have a good idea to redo these.
Okay.
And we'll be glad. Again, we're all researchers, and over the next few years, if we find something correlation, it would be handy to have verified Hodgkin's versus something
right.
in a book that says it's
okay.
Hodgkin's, because then we know for sure.
Okay, great.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay. Let me finish with her. I have a website. It's www.
They're all cleaned, but I'm going to put them in.
Okay.
Last one.
Go ahead, Teresa.
The website, www.teresadeberry.com.
Spell Teresa DeBerry for those of you that you want to put an H, but there's not one.
There's no H. It's CERESADEBERRY. And at the bottom of that is my email address. So you can go there and shoot me an email, and I'll be happy to research that for you and get back to you.
Okay, cool. We have one more question. Again, that's TeresaDeBerry.com if you want to get in touch with Teresa about health and handwriting, or forensic document exam. Remember, she is qualified, and if you're in the southeast part of the country, she's somebody I would choose. The other website you might want to go to is handwritinguniversity.com/preview/super. Okay, take them off mute now. We'll get your emails out and your website. Okay, time for one more question.
Can you find, like, immune, if somebody has an immune disease, would you be able to see that in the handwriting?
Yes. There are signs for immune deficiency, but it doesn't show up as one particular element.
You write down.
It is a combination of things, and I believe it starts with pressure changes and irregularities.
Okay.
It's not a
I was thinking, like, arthritis or... lupus or something.
Those have a lot of pain dot. They have a lot of
it probably doesn't hurt.
Thin areas and crooked areas and things of that nature that show that were like pain, and you might even find the resting dot and those little hooks and irregularities in the pressure and the clamp. You can see a combination of those things.
Okay, thank you.
Good job, everybody. Now, let me encourage you to contact Teresa to come to the conference. If you can't get to the conference, order the DVDs. You'll hear the entire lectures plus the breakout sessions to do that. It is now 7 o'clock, so out of respect for those of you that have time schedules, I want to say thank you to Teresa DeBerry for spending your time putting these handouts together, Teresa. You're wonderful.
Thank you.
And the rest of you, thanks for attending. If you're here, if you're listening to this by telephone or by recording, thank you for spending your time with us. My name is Bart Baggett. I will say goodnight now. If you have any questions, you can always email me or my staff or even Teresa through any of our websites, handwritinguniversity.com, or our phone number is 1-800-398-2278, or if you want to talk to Teresa, teresadeberry.com. Everybody, thanks again for coming on the phone call, and everybody have a great and safe evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bart and Teresa.
Did they get to go over number 5?
What about number 5?
Number 5 was blood pressure.
Blood pressure, okay.
That was high blood pressure.